Mubarak has supported and is supporting al-Sisi, has supported the Saudi invasion of Yemen, has supported the Bahraini ruthless ruler that is oppressing, imprisoning, torturing, killing Shi'atu Ali ibn Abi Talib, supported Saddam, supported Daesh. You have no problem with this establishment. The Islamic Republic supports Bashar al-Assad. You're like, Bashar al-Assad is this, that, the other. Really? What type of information do you have? Even if he is all of that, there are times where you would need to support it. When you need to support that, and people come out and say, well, Ali ibn Abi Talib did. We need to understand where, why we are supposed to in certain circumstances support an establishment that is not just, that is not what Islam says, the person, the system, it's not. Yet you're supposed to support it. And where is it that we are not supposed to support it? And where is it that we have got to go against? And to what degree? We've got to understand that. This is all an obligation. When he says, كُنْ لِلظَّالِمِ خَصْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا, how are you going to be the khasm, the enemy of the oppressors? How are you going to be the helper of those who are oppressed? What does that translate to in action? I will put something out very briefly, a very general outline. A very general outline. This is something that deserves a lot of study, thorough research. A lot of details are there that need to be covered. All I am presenting is a brief outline of the reasons why it was not only correct, it was a must for Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullahi alayhi, not only to remain silent and not fight them, but to come forward and support them. Out of the outline, I think I can only have time to explain two important conditions that led to that decision. Recite a salawat, please. The first has to do with why Ali ibn Abi Talib did not continue fighting the establishment in the early days of its establishment. After a few days, a few weeks of trying to fight them in different ways, you know some of the details, there are many details there, the different things that he did, the different things that the Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha did. Why did he not continue? That's one thing, that a very general guideline in regards to it we're going to be mentioning. And then in terms of supporting it, what was the purpose, what was the objective, what was the desired outcome of supporting the establishment without which that outcome would not be possible? And again, in a very general and to give us a direction to think, it gives us a little bit of clarity in terms of finding a direction, a rough direction for ourselves today. It's not something just to analyze history. It gives us a general understanding that helps us roughly figure out what direction we need to move towards today and the conditions that we are. The first point, why did Ali ibn Abi Talib stop fighting the establishment? He initially engaged in that. In fact, the very fact that they came to the door and they behaved in the way they did was out of fear that Ali ibn Abi Talib will escalate his opposition against the newly established deviant authority and government, against the teachings of the Prophet. Why did he stop? The reason why he stopped has been mentioned by the Holy Prophet, by Amirul Mu'mineen. Perhaps the other Imams have put this forth to us as well. I have seen it in the words of the Holy Prophet and Amirul Mu'mineen. The Holy Prophet told him, if you don't have support, do not proceed. Amirul Mu'mineen says something similar to that. We're trying to analyze this. Amirul Mu'mineen did not have people that were going to support his government. The understanding of the people was not such that they were able to digest and understand the conditions such that they would realize that in those given conditions, they are supposed to support Ali ibn Abi Talib, even if it means war between Muslims. He didn't have people that had that understanding. He didn't have people with basira, with understanding. People got confused. A confused people cannot support haq. I mean, we didn't have that. This is on one end, which is one of the main reasons I chose this discussion. Is Amir al-Mu'mineen is awwal mazloom. On his birth, I would like to discuss something that would make us be something different than what caused Ali ibn Abi Talib to be awwal mazloom. Ali ibn Abi Talib is not awwal mazloom because some Ibn Muljam did something ridiculous. One individual. Ali ibn Abi Talib is mazloom because people didn't understand him and those conditions and therefore did not support him. The second, which is the focus of this discussion, is that Ali ibn Abi Talib identified that the only way to safeguard Islam, to move the Muslims and the agenda of Islam towards its goals, towards its destination, according to the teachings of the Prophet, as the Imam of this movement. Don't forget, he never ceased to be the Imam of the movement, the leader of the movement. He's responsible to guide this movement in that direction. He recognized correctly that in order for Islam's objectives to be realized and for them to materialize, he needs to support this. I don't want to spend time in the brief moments remaining here explaining why the conditions led to that. That's very complex and details need to be discussed. I don't want to get to that. What I want to get to is this. Whatever the conditions are, Amirul Mu'mineen clearly saw that the only way to accomplish the goals and objectives of Islam is to support the system. Okay. This is very extremely important. Let me go back to some of the conditions we have. We have people coming out and saying, or now, elections 2020 are coming up. I don't know who's going to get up nowadays amongst the Shia community. And I'm sure you're going to have some people that are going to either say vote for Trump for whatever reason, or some are going to say vote for Bernie or this guy or that guy or whatever. And they'll give you some reason. What are the reasons why people end up listening to what's being said from this Mike, from this pulpit, just because it's being said? Do you clearly see that supporting this taghut is helping Islam? Is that something you see? Is it clear to you? This is helping Islam? The only way to realize and materialize the objectives of Islam is to vote for Trump? Vote for George W. Bush? Vote for Obama? Vote for whatever, Sanders, Bernie, or Is it really the case? Do you clearly see that the only way that Allah's objectives on earth to materialize, you've got to go to the ballot box and cast that vote? Is it clear to you? If it is, move forward, proceed. If it isn't, then this is a tawhut. This is something practical. Ali ibn Abi Talib saw clearly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, he needs to go to the person who knocked down the door of his house and support him. For Allah, it was clear. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, when you are certain, proceed. Okay, this is the idea. If you're certain for Islam, not for my benefit. Somebody says, oh, it's good for our livelihood in America. Who says that is something good? Maybe we should all leave. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying think about what's being said. For the Muslims out here, really for the Muslims out here, is good to vote for this person? And they're going to send drones and create Daesh, send drones to Pakistan and Afghanistan, create Daesh to create massacres of Muslimin, Shia or Sunni, and non-Muslims, the Yazidis and all of those, and then blame it on Islam. I won't forget, with George W. Bush, one of the ridiculous arguments put forth that they got Shia to Ali ibn Abi Talib to go and vote for this man is a lesser of two evils. On the other side, you have a Zionist. Lieberman. Now he's on the other ticket. I want to make sure that Zionists are not there. Are you really, excuse me, but I have no choice but to use this word. Are you that dumb? You got to have someone that has the title Jew or Zionist on them. Who in this system is not a Zionist? You tell me. Whoever wants to be in that White House has got to go and prostrate to AIPAC and the Jews and the Zionists. Okay. One way or another. One way or another. Well, who's responsible for all the Iraqis that were killed by George W. Bush? All the Afghans that were killed by George W. Bush? Then with Obama again, same idea, lesser of two evils. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, it's amazing. I just find it so, I don't know what to say. The same argument is used. People voted for him. Again, collateral damage. A few tens, 40, 50 people in this ceremony in Pakistan and Afghanistan were killed. We were targeting some terrorists. I was attending this wedding. And Daesh, it is crystal clear, they have confessed, it is there online, it's videos, John McCain and others, you can find it yourself, they created, and the documents will be released later, it's crystal clear, they created Daesh. Who's responsible for that? Think about what's being said to you, like, oh, it's good for the Muslims here, it's good for, really? Is it good for Islam? Do you know what the objectives of Islam are? We are not another, I don't know, ethnicity, another culture out there like the Hindus. Like, oh, look at how the Hindus are getting close to the establishment. Well, the hell with that. Is that our objective? Is it that us that have been born as Muslim, as Shia, that we have certain political power in this country? Is that the objective of Islam? Well, that's nowhere found in Islam. If that was the case, Ali ibn Abi Talib would have join that government in a different way, because he didn't join them by supporting them simply by saying, oh, you guys are great, continue and put me in this position, put me in that position. That's not what Ali ibn Abi Talib did. The same Ali ibn Abi Talib that said, do not touch Uthman, and he protected and guarded Uthman, is the same person that went to him, spoke to him very strongly, told him, you need to bring these people that you have put in those positions to justice. You have got to lash Walid ibn Uqba. This is the same Ali ibn Abi Talib. This is the support we're talking about here. We said salawat. It's not about us gaining some sort of political power in this system, in this corrupt system out here. That's not the idea. What are the objectives of Islam? What are the ideals of Islam? Go identify that. If you haven't identified it, how can you say, yes, it's clear between me and Allah on the Day of Judgment, I will have an answer. Really, when Ali ibn Abi Talib, Qasimul Jannati wa Nar, comes and says you're going to go to paradise or to hell, do you have an answer for him? Why you supported the killers of millions of people, tens of millions of people, since they became the superpower of this world, tens of millions of people, and it's going to continue like that. This is the nature of tawaghit. You supported that? Do you really see clearly that that is the objective of Islam? It supports the objective of Islam by casting that vote, by speaking in favor of, by counting the greatnesses of this country. I don't know why it is that believers get together, all they can do is praise the system of the taghut and badmouth the system of the mu'mineen, whether it's in the Islamic Republic or in Iraq or in Syria or in Lebanon, these places where the mu'mineen are gaining the true power of Islam that they need to have. All we can hear is negativity towards them, and all is positive. Yeah, it's so safe and secure. Alhamdulillah, we're living in this. What are you talking about? Shaitan is all over you. Your soul is being attacked day in and day out. What type of... You're worried about the coronavirus? And you're thinking that, oh, well, this country knows how to deal with it. We'll see. You're not worried about spiritual viruses? We're not worried about them? We don't care about them. Everybody, you heard me cough, you're like, okay, I'm not going to shake hands with the sheikh. He might have the virus. What about the spiritual? Yeah, don't get close to me, but not because of that. Those spiritual illnesses of mine, they're pretty contagious. They're pretty contagious. They're really bad. Kibr is horrible. It's contagious. You start acting arrogantly, it creates this competition. People want to start boasting about themselves. Well, don't get close to me. You're going to get some of that off on you. Al-ayyadu billah, God forbid. Ali ibn Abi Talib saw clearly between him and Allah, crystal clear, supporting that establishment is moving in the direction of Allah. If you can verify clearly between you and Allah, supporting any government is supporting the objectives of Islam, supporting the coming of the 12th Imam, supporting his government, supporting his movement, which is to eradicate all tawaghit, all tyrants, all tyranny. If it's clear to you, proceed. This is what Ali ibn Abi Talib. You be your own judge. I have my own understanding. You, between you and Allah, it's not about me. I may be convinced, I may not be. Who the heck am I? On the Day of Judgment, I'm not going to be dividing anything up. Qasimul Jannati wa Nar is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Just whenever you want to do things like that, see the presence of Ali ibn Abi Talib before you. And see if he asks you, why are you doing this? You have an answer for him. Okay. you would say, Wallah, this is the case. I know this is for you. Wallah, I know this is for you. If you can say that, go ahead, proceed. That's what Ali ibn Abi Talib did. Wallah, Ya Allah, you know by bi'izzatik, this is for you. For no other reason. I have no business. Recite salawat, please. I don't know but about you, but I really miss being in Najaf, the Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen is an amazing place. It's a different place. Ali ibn Abi Talib gives you this comfort, although I know for myself, I definitely am not worthy 100%. But I've spoken to different people, they also said they had a similar experience. There's a line in Mafatihul Janan, Sheikh Abbas Qummi, he says that when you're walking, I had this conversation with a good friend of mine, may Allah protect him and give him a long life. The first time we went to Najaf, we got to Najaf on the night of Ghadir. This was the first Ghadir after Saddam, the Mal'un, the first Ghadir. And just entering the city, you see the dome. It's a beautiful experience. And so we were taken by the buses to, we got a house in Kufa. It wasn't in the area referred to as Najaf. It was some of the larger homes. We were about 200 houses students from Qom. We rented two of the homes of the Iraqi brothers in Kufa. And after we situated and got settled there, got our stuff, went for the ziyarah, got off at Shara' al-Rasul, and we started moving. There's a little curve to Shara' al-Rasul. I don't know. So initially when you start, you don't see the dome. Then suddenly you come to the curve, you see the dome in front of you, suddenly. Okay. And as soon as you see that, it's just, especially for the first time, it's a different feeling. I don't know, words can't describe that. I was having this conversation. This friend of mine said, yeah, it's not just you, it's everybody. Sheikh Abbas Qummi has a poem for that. And I went and found Mafatihul Janan. I found it. He says, when you see the dome for the first time, you just want some words to express your feelings. And here are a few lines of poetry that Amir al-Mu'mineen is, I don't know, words again cannot describe. He's very kind. He's very kind. Very kind to sinners like me. In order to bring them, not the tawaghit who are fighting, bring them closer. He gives them this experience that we hope and we ask him on this night of his birth in Rajab that he calls us. We're able to come and to sit in that shrine of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whenever you go, inshallah, you go many times. Honestly, brothers, sisters, I don't know what, I mean, I don't want this to be taken wrong. I was going to say, I don't know what vacation means besides going to the Ahlul Bayt. This doesn't mean that we don't, you know, have other, you know, material fun and all of that is wrong. No, but I don't understand to have the means and not to go regularly as possible. As regularly as possible. Try to go regularly. Try to go. And whenever you go, when you get to the Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen, try to spend time speaking to him. He is present. He sees, he hears. And that's how you should see it. Although the appearance is different, it looks like a grave. A grave is where someone is buried and someone who is not alive. Ali ibn Abi Talib, don't let that deceive you. Okay, that's the deception of the dunya. Okay, that's the deception of the material realm. Amir al-Mu'mineen is present. Speak to him in your own language. Tell him issues, tell him your problems, and ask him for help. And we ask him from here, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ruhi Fidak, you are here as well, and you see all of us, and you hear everything that was said. If any of it was wrong, you correct it, and you remove this person from the pulpit so he will not say things that you do not like. And if it is something that you wish for it to be said, then please accept and remove all the insincerities. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we ask you, we are a small group of Shia, we are a minority here, the followers of the Ahlul Bayt, we're a minority here. We ask you for assistance. We want to be at your service. I hope this is something from all of us. We want to be at your service, Ya Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. We want to do what you want us to do. We don't want to just be here and enjoy. All of what we enjoy is from you. You gave it to us. We don't have anything besides what you have given us. But we want to use it in the way you want us to use it. We were willing to give all of this up so that on the day of judgment, we see a smile on your face. The moment of death, من يموت يراني, whoever dies, they see me. At the moment of death, you will see Ali ibn Abi Talib. What do you like to see on his face? God forbid we are of the people that on the moment of death, we are so distracted by the angry faces of the angels that we don't even see Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's there. Okay. And he is visible, but we're distracted. Inshallah, we're of those that at the moment of death, none of the angels distract us. Even the good angels, the only thing we see is Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi alayhi, inshallah. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, we ask you, we beg you, you've given all of this to us, the wealth we have, the blessings, the material blessings that we have, the family that we have, the security that we have, the health that we have, everything is from you. We say this generally, this is a reality, from Allah, through the Ahlul Bayt, through Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullah alayhi. Everything we have is, please, make us use it in a way, turn it back, give it to you, so that on the day of judgment, and from the moment of death onwards, we are by your side, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us become his true and close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping his cause. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to especially help our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask him to forgive our sins, to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah to grant all of us and all believers worldwide our hajat, our needs, our requests, cure all the ill from amongst us, especially this new virus that is going around. O Allah, protect the Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Cure all those who are suffering from this illness and all other illnesses as well. And all those who are suffering from hardships, difficulties, we ask Allah by the rights of the Imam of our time to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih rahimallah man qara al-Fatiha ma'a salawat. We have raffles, and do I have to take them? How many do we have?
Two.
Is it only for fathers? Okay, well, inshallah. Amir al-Mu'mineen was the greatest father. I'll hold this, just two. The greatest father, and we hope that this day being referred to as Father's Day is a day that fathers learn fatherhood from the greatest father, after the Prophet Ali ibn Abi Talib, salamullahi wa salawatuhu alayhi, inshallah. And this is gift is to remember this, inshallah. The first one is 108-396. 108-396. Now, I don't want to see any children raising their hands. You have it? Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. 10, 83, 96. It's funny, a number of times we've tried taking out these raffle tickets and then nobody has it. We don't know why they've ended up here. Last night we had a similar situation in Masjid Ahl al-Bayt. Alhamdulillah, the program was very good. But a couple of tickets, I think that happened to them. Recite another salawat. All right, so 10, 83, 98. 108398. Is that the same number? Oh no, that was 396. This is 398. No one? Sorry, Ali. Okay, so I guess that did happen here. All right, the next one is 108386. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Amar, it's not for you.
Inshallah, from Amir al-Mu'mineen. What's that third one?
Brothers and sisters, thank you for participating. We would like to thank Sheikh Hamza for his presence in this community. He accepted the invitation when this community was in a disarray. There were some situations you were aware of. He came, he guided us, and inshallah, he has been benefiting from all the lectures and his guidance, and we cannot thank him enough. And on this day, as our spiritual father, inshallah, in this community, on behalf of Al-Wala and the community, inshallah, we'll like to present him with a small gift. Please invite him with Allah salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. We have a game, right? Inshallah, we have a game afterwards. Please stay, and inshallah, we'll end the program with ziyarah. Okay, after the game. After the game.
All right, thank you everyone. If we can have half this hall be men and the other half be women, that would be really nice. Thank you. If some brothers can move this way, please, thank you. And ladies, come on up. We're playing charades. And girls are playing for like basically our dignity at this point. We've been losing so much. All right, ladies, thank you. Can we have four at least? Five? Six? More?